Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad you've come. It's good to see everyone out. We have a few newcomers that are new to us, some that are sort of newcomers, and those of us who are normal members here. Whatever your classification is, we are glad that you're here. Thank you for taking the time to worship God with us here at North 2nd Street. I was I mentioned this in the lesson, in the Bible class lesson, that I had been thinking about. Trying to turn that off. I have been thinking about how many doctrinal lessons I've done. And I like doctrinal lessons. Doctrinal lessons need to be done, but you have to have kind of a balance. And sometimes when you do, as a preacher, when you do doctrinal lessons, you do two in a row, you sense not falling asleep, but you sense people aren't with you. This morning I thought I've taken the lash to you a little too much doctrinally, so we're going to have something to hopefully build you up. Now I will tell you, this is all lessons are doctrinal, right? The word just means teaching. So we are going to talk about are you tired of being a Christian? That's a serious question. I thought about calling this lesson, would you be baptized today? That's another lesson for another day, but I thought that was a good thought. Are you tired of being a Christian? Now, I'm probably not going to get a bunch of amens on that. That's a positive. But I want to give you an analogy. Have you ever had a job that you hated? You ever had somebody try and take your red stapler? It's just the worst. Have you ever had a boss you hated and a job you hated? And you go into work every day and you just wish you were somewhere else? And the days are so long. And you got to do what the boss tells you, and you just want to do anything but what you're supposed to do because you hate it. And if I have to turn in one more TP report, I'm just going to die. Ever felt that way? You know why you feel that way? Because you hate your boss. You see where this is going, right? Maybe we resent being a Christian because we don't really love God. Maybe I see Christianity as, well, it's all those things I got to do. And I really want to do a bunch of other things, but God won't let me. Those people down there, they'd find out about it. We've got elders now. Oh, I just can't seem to get by with what I thought I could get by with. My parents might find out. Preacher might find out, and you're just dragging along, tired. You're tired because you're going about it all wrong. Christianity is not things that you do or do not. Christianity is not things that we do or do not. Quit trying to do what you think a Christian does. Quit trying to do what you think or try to be what a Christian you think it is. Love God. Jesus said it was pretty simple. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your heart, and all your soul. And then love your neighbor in the same way. This lesson is for you if you're tired. Because I want to build you up. And no matter whether you think you're just being a Christian because you think that's what you ought to do, or you're really striving to be a Christian, but maybe you're striving to be a Christian in the wrong way. If you think of Christianity as simply a list of things that you do and do not, I don't care how sincere you are, that's going to be hard after a while. Do you want to meet Jesus? Do you want to see God's face? Do you feel the love God has shed toward you? Now, same thing with the boss. If it's a job I like, if it's something I like doing, I'll never forget this. It doesn't really fit perfectly with this lesson, but I'm going to tell the story anyway. We had gone to Gatlinburg, and we took one of Cole's little buddies, a guy named Wyatt, sweet kid. He would probably be terrified of me calling him a sweet kid now. He's probably 22 years old. But Wyatt and Cole, we are hiking, right? And I'm the hiker. It's Dad that wants to hike. It's not Cole and Wyatt's thing. They're behind us all the time, you know, carry me. You know, Cole's 13. I know he's not. But you know how they are, right? Oh, I just don't want to go. So the whole way up to Rainbow Falls, they're tired. On the way back, I got tired of them, and I told them just to go on. Wow! Miraculously, when they can just run ahead on the trail and go fall in the creek and Daddy doesn't care, man, it's a miracle they've been rejuvenated. Kind of the same thing with us. Does my desire line up with God's desire? When I love God, when I want to seek His face, when I understand His will, and I want His will to be done because I love Him, and I want to be more like His Son every day, guess what? I ain't tired anymore. That's what our lesson is about. Are you tired of being a Christian? And we're going to talk about three areas that we can increase that are not sin or not. We need to increase our faith, our praise, and our love of God. We need to increase our faith. I told you Wayne was trying to teach him a lesson in Bible class. We need to increase our praise, and we need to increase our love of God. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus has just told the apostles that if their brother comes to him and sins against him seven times and he repents, they have to forgive him seven times. And the apostles are like, how is that possible? And they say something there that is kind of the theme for our lesson. The apostles said to the Lord in Luke chapter 17 and 5, Luke 17 and 5, increase our faith. Notice he didn't say help us to do it. Increase our faith. My problem with my rule following is not my rule following. It's not my ability to resist sin or not. It's my faith. Increase our faith. Turn over to Mark chapter 9 if you don't mind. This is one of my favorite places in the Bible. Mark chapter 9, Jesus and the three apostles have just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And when they come down, Jesus had given his apostles the power to cast out demons and to heal. But while Jesus was gone, they had had a problem with this one boy. And he would have these seizures, or this demon would come over him. His father said, he's thrown him into the fire, he's thrown him into the water, and he becomes mute. He can't speak. He just, this evil spirit within him is trying to kill him. Please help. I brought him to your apostles. They couldn't help me. So look at Mark 9, and let's go down to verse 18. Mark chapter 9. And verse 18. It says, and whenever it seizes him, this is the father of the son, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And he, that's Jesus, in 19, answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. What do you think the apostles thought their problem was? Do you think it was faith or do you think it was power? Jesus had given them authority and power to cast out demons. They can't cast out this demon. What would the logical thing to ask for be? I need more power to cast out this demon. Jesus says, no. What you need is more faith. The Bible tells us that Jesus says that this kind can only come out through prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Sometimes our situations in life are difficult. Sometimes our situations, and we talked about this verse last week, sometimes our situations are as easy as resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I say that in prayer. I say that exact phrase. If you ever start praying and your mind wanders, you can't seem to control what you're thinking, that's Satan interrupting your prayer. And I will literally say to my mind, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Sometimes our problems in life are that easy. If I learn that I'm doing something that's sinful and I need to stop, sometimes I just stop. If I learn there's something I need to do that I'm not doing, sometimes I just start doing it. Other times it's hard. Other times it takes prayer and fasting. And Jesus says it takes more faith. The Father here understands this. Look at verse 23 of Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. The man has asked Jesus to help if you can. This is one of my favorite places in the Bible because you see Jesus' personality. You ask Jesus if he can cast out a demon. He goes, if I can? Come on, man. The Bible doesn't say, come on, man. But I'm telling you, that's what Jesus thought. This is him his recorded answer. Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said to him, I believe, help my unbelief. The King James there says, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And that's the way I've got it memorized. We need more faith. You may think, well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he's resurrected. I did that when I right before I got baptized. I did the believe part. You don't do the believe part. You live the believe part. And Jesus needs to be more real to me every day. How real is Jesus to me? Well, when I think in prayer, is Jesus so real that I can see him, that I can feel his presence? How often am I conscious of God's presence with me? God is present with me. And now look, as I said in Bible class, there's one finger pointing toward you. There's three pointing to me. I need time to be quiet and remember that there is a God and that he loves me and that he's with me and that he will do what he says and he will increase my faith and he needs to be more real to me every day. And when that occurs, I'll skip through life. I'll skip down the trail. I'll run into a branch. I won't care. I'll slip and fall in the creek. I won't care. I won't be tired. I'll be an enthusiastic Christian. So if we need to increase our faith, the second thing, and really this is the crux of the lesson I wanted to do, when we know God, we should praise him. We need to increase our faith, and we need to increase our praise. This comes from a little text conversation we were having in our family. I won't tell you the whole story, but the idea was something good had happened, you need to praise God. You know when you need to praise God? All the time. We think, oh, God has been good to me, I'll thank him. Well, that's not a bad idea to have, but God has been good to me every second of the day. When is there a moment when Jesus has not died for my sins? When is there a moment when the Father has not given his sinless Son for me? When is the moment that God hasn't given me all precious things? When is the moment that God's Spirit does not dwell in me? Those moments don't exist. All moments are good moments. And at all times, God deserves my praise. I want to take a look at a couple of Psalms, and I'm going to read to you some Psalms and then give you some text that came from C.S. Lewis that I just can't improve upon. I've used it in a lesson about 5 years ago, and I decided to use it again tonight. Look at Psalm 148. Psalm 148. If you have a Bible, turn over there. We sing a song based on the King James of this verse. Psalm 148, let's read verses 1 through 4. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. What's doctrinal about that? What's really instructive about that? It is a command. Really more than a command, it's an encouragement. Come along with me. Let's praise God. Why? Because God is worthy of our praise, number one, and because it makes me a less tired Christian. When I praise God, it reminds someone of how worthy praise God is. Guess who that person is? Me. It reminds me that Christ has died for me every day. It reminds me that God loves me every day. You know what that does? That doesn't beat me down. That builds me up. Gives me energy. Gives me enthusiasm. I love God. Thank you, Lord. When will I get to meet you? When will I get to see your son? Look at Psalm 42 for just a moment. Psalm 42. And this one, some of you probably remember me talking about this. There's a book by John Piper. Now, John Piper is a Calvinist. He's a false teacher. But he wrote a really good, about four chapters of a book. And it's called Desiring God. And it revolutionized my view of God, to be honest with you. Because he talks about this, it's not all he talks about, but he talks about this one song. We sing it as the deer pants for the water. Has that seemed weird to you? It always seemed weird to me. I thought, what is that? It comes from Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. Let's read it and then talk about it. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now that's the kind of thing, if I had sat in an audience with a preacher up here and the preacher said, do you love God like a deer pants for the water? I would go, yeah. In my mind, I would be going, I have no idea what he's talking about. I think the preacher may have lost his mind. But these are inspired words. Do I desire the presence of God that way? Oh, I'm serious. Do I want to meet God right now? Am I willing to get up a bus? Let's go. I want to go right. I want to meet God now. I'm serious about this. Now, I will tell you, when I was 25, I didn't feel this way. It took me a while to mature and to add faith and to learn that this was a thing. But when I understand that I love God and I want to be near Him and I know that He sunk the foundations of the earth, guess what's going to come out of my mouth? This is where Piper quotes C.S. Lewis, and I'm going to put it on the screen for you. And it's so good, there's just no way I can say it better. Lewis talks about praise this way. He says, praise does not stand alone. Praise is the consummation of the act of love. Praise is the consummation of the act of love. If I have something that I like and I get it, you know what I want to do? I want to show it to you. I want to show you how. I want to tell you how great it is. Look at what Lewis says here. I had not noticed either that just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising it. Let that soak in. And let me read these next sentences to you. Isn't she lovely? What's he saying? I love my wife. I love my daughter. I love this plant. I love whatever it is. Isn't this great? Join with me in praising this thing. Wasn't it glorious? Don't you think that magnificent? The psalmist, in telling everyone to praise God, are doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about. Listen to this next section. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. See where this is going to change your life? I'm not just going to say praise God in my mind. Wayne, praise God with me. You see where this is going? Because I'm excited. I want to see God. I'm praising God. It's not complete until I can get someone else to come along with me. That's why a good song service is so encouraging. Because you know what we're all doing together? We're all praising the one God. Hallelujah, praise His name. And when it's good and when it's moving, it builds us up. The praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is the appointed consummation. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling another how beautiful they are. The delight is complete till it is expressed. Excuse me. The delight is incomplete until it is expressed. I don't love God until I praise Him. I don't really love God until I praise Him and I ask you to praise Him with me. Praise God. Amen? Amen. God is good. God has been wonderful to us at all times. You want to know how excited someone is about being a Christian? How many times do they say, thank you, Lord? Now, we view that as something other religious people do. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. It's something we need to do. Go read the Psalms. I say this over and over. I say it so many times, I almost think I'm beating it into the ground sometimes. When you read the Psalms, you know what those people do all the time? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. It is okay to say thank you, Lord, out loud in public. Someone may think you a Baptist. That is okay. Let's be honest. That's something my Baptist friends do, and they're too casual with God's name. And look, don't be casual with God's name, but praise God. Read those Psalms. You will become comfortable praising God because the psalmists are comfortable praising God. And if it's in the Scriptures, it can't be wrong. Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Nothing else. Praise His name. So I need to increase my faith. I need to increase my praise. And I need to increase my love for God. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. I talked about at the top of this sermon about the fact that if I've got a job I don't like and a boss I don't like, I'm going to be miserable. Do you feel that way with God? I'm afraid sometimes people do. I know I did. I mean, I know as a 15-year-old, I just thought God is somebody trying to ruin my fun. I thought you old people just were too tired to have any fun anymore. You'd already sown your wild oats. You didn't want me to have any fun, and you're just trying to ruin my day. I'm just telling you the truth. That's the way I viewed church. I think a lot of adults are 20 or 30 years into that, and they're tired. Oh, I see my friends out there drinking. I want to drink. I like saying curse words. Why do I have to go to church 3 times a week? Why, all my buddies go places on Wednesday night and Sunday night. Why can't I go? You don't love God. You don't understand salvation. You don't understand what God has done for you. If that's your attitude, no wonder you're tired. Because you're not a Christian. You're a rule follower. God didn't come to make rule followers. He came to make son followers. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Do you know that God loves you? I'm serious about this. Do you know that God loves you? In this is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. You know what He's saying? He said when Christians love each other, even though we're different, we may be different ethnically and income-wise and politically and whatever it may be, sports teams, it doesn't matter. If you can get an Alabama fan and a Tennessee fan to love each other, something God has happened. And that's exactly what He means. God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves when we were in rebellion to Him. When we would curse His name, He did it anyway. That's love. John 14 and verse 15. Jesus giving His disciples His last instructions before the cross says, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. This is not really a commandment verse. What He's saying is the natural outgrowth of your love for Me will be you do what I ask. Because if you really love Me, you want to see My will be done. If you love your spouse, have you ever given your spouse something special for Christmas? Why is it special? Because you know something about them that maybe somebody else doesn't know. And you give them that special gift and it's very meaningful to them. You know what my favorite gift is? My wife knows this already. Is a camelback. A camelback. You know what those are? They're the little water things that has a little hose that you drink out of. I tell you why that's meaningful to me. She gave it to me on Father's Day. Any gift on Father's Day that's any count is special. Because let's be honest, they made Father's Day because they just felt guilty about how much we make on a Mother's Day. Somebody slip a Father's Day in there real quick. Just ties, no problem. She knows I need to walk. She knows I like to walk, whatever the weather is. She knows I like to hike. So she bought that for me special because it's what I wanted. When I know what's special to Jesus, when I know what Jesus wants, you don't have to tell me to do it. I want to do it. I want to do it without Him telling me to do it. In fact, if He has to tell me to do it, it cuts down how special it is. So when Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, it's not about the commandments, it's about the love. I think we look at our Christianity and we think, well, I need to do commandments more. No, you don't. You need to learn who God is. You need to learn who the Son is. You need to know why He was on that cross. And you avoid those things like you love Him, the rest will take care of itself. 1 John 5 and 3. Second to the last verse. 1 John 5 and 3. Same thought. John here, who heard Jesus say those words in John 14, is just repeating the thought. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. There's no mistake in the fact that John essentially is repeating the words of Jesus. And His commands are not burdensome. Now you may be sitting back there going, I don't know. Coming to church 3 times a week seems a little burdensome to me. I ain't going to be here 5 anyway. I wish you'd hurry up and quit. I ain't going to be here Wednesday night, no way. That's burdensome to me. You know why I do His commandments? Because I love Him. If I love Him, those things are not burdensome. It was not burdensome for my wife to buy me that special gift. She loved me. She wanted to do something without being asked, and she did it. My problem is not being tired of Christianity. My problem is not I'm tired of all these rules. The problem is I don't really understand what God has done for me. I don't really understand what Jesus has done for me. I don't really understand the love of God. If I understood His love toward me, I would love Him. And then, doing the will of my Father who is in heaven, Matthew 7:21, is not burdensome. Last verse, Matthew chapter 11. Turn over there if you don't mind. I know you're familiar with the verse, but let's read it together. Again, I can't help but think of unconverted Jason Sage. I didn't understand this verse at all. I thought this is a trick. I literally thought Jesus is saying something He knows is not true. He's trying to trick me. Preachers are trying to trick me because it's not rest for me. It's not light for me. You want me to stop doing all these fun things. I don't want to stop doing fun things. I want to do what the world does. I want to chase after what the world calls fun. I want to chase after the lust of the flesh. And Jesus won't let me do that. That doesn't sound like rest to me. That sounds like burden to me. Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Words of Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you believe that? I'm serious about this. If you don't believe that, then we have more teaching to do. You have more learning to do. That's why it's a struggle for you as a Christian. That's maybe why it's a struggle for you to even become a Christian, because you don't believe those words. Guilty. But let me tell you something. I've been a slave to unrighteousness, and I've been a slave to righteousness. Whoo! The narrow way is the easy way. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. If I love God, His commands are not burdensome. If I love His Son, it is rest. It is a light and easy thing. You may be looking at all those things in the world, and you may be longing for them, and you may be white-knuckling your Christianity. Let me tell you something. The worst thing that could ever happen for you is for you to get what you want. You go ahead, 40-year-old man. You get out there and prove how young you are again. You get out there and find some neighbors that you start getting involved in those garage football game parties, drinking a 12-pack of beer. Go ahead. Go ahead. You know what's going to happen eventually? Somebody's wife is going to look really cute one day. Think it doesn't happen? It happens. One day you're going to get in the car when you shouldn't. One day you're going to say something you shouldn't. Well, one day maybe your boss is there and you're going to tell him something maybe you shouldn't tell him. And then you'll realize that you are a slave. You think Christianity is slavery. I assure you, unrighteousness is slavery. And once Satan has you, he's not letting go because he knows his time is short. So what you're offered is not freedom versus slavery. It is not burdensome commandments in Christ, yet freedom out in the real world. What is given you is freedom of conscience. I don't have to lie to you about where I was last night. I don't have to remember the lie I told you Tuesday, because I ain't lying to you. That's freedom. That's rest. That's beauty. My bills are paid because I'm not drinking and drugging the rest of it away. There's freedom. There's rest. Find yourself a cocaine dealer. You know what you'll find out after a while? That ain't no rest, brother, because you got to keep on chasing. Come to Jesus. He will save you. He will give you rest. If you're not a Christian, and you need to be, come in and find out about the love of God. If you're a Christian and you're tired because you don't love God and you need refreshing, you need prayers, you need help, you need study, please come forward in either case as we stand and we sing.